I watch too many movies.
I watch too much TV.
Anything else to add?
I'm head of HR.
The world needs more robots.
I still have a page of notes.
I wasn't paying attention.
Our lightning round.
No, I'm not ready.
I'll just wing it.
I'm in the zone.
Roll for initiative.
May the force be with you.
Always.
Classic.
Whatever makes you a discerning geek.
The Discerning Geeks Portal.
Now recording.
Welcome back, discerning listeners, to the Discerning Geeks Portal, where each week we step through the portal of geekdom and explore something, but we're not going to tell you what. Not right away.
It's absolutely geekalicious.
It's so mysterious.
You have to solve the clues to figure out.
Which will lead to another clue and another clue and
which will lead
mystery.
But I am joined this week with my best friends, Todd and Andrew. Guys, how you doing?
I'm okay, I guess.
If you put my mood on the back, the Declaration of Independence, it would say good until we decided to review this movie.
Andrew, you're about to finish up with school. What you got, like a month left?
Oh, yeah. Which means what should Andrew watch? We'll be back full force.
Full force. He has a whole summer to watch and be tortured with items. Yes. So all of our listeners out there, email us what you think Andrew should watch.
I will take literally every email suggestion and watch it, but only if you email it.
Email it to discerninggeeks@gmail.com. I normally save that plug till the end, but we want to go ahead and get your input now.
I don't know if back in full force is the most accurate way of describing it, because we pulled off one episode of What Should Andrew Watch. We prepped for a second one and still never recorded.
We'll get there. So we'll have to get Andrew back into the chair, strapped down, watching some stuff that we tell him to watch.
You know. Forcing my eyeballs
great
open.
Movies like what we watched this time. Todd, tell us about the movie.
No.
First, let me just say, both of you are treasures. Local treasures. Okay, so tonight we are reviewing National Treasure. When historian Benjamin Franklin Gates trusts the wrong person to financially bankroll his family's lifelong search for lost treasure, he must prevent the United States Declaration of Independence from being stolen by stealing it first himself. As noted correctly and with great frustration by his father, the secrets on the back of the Declaration just lead to more clues, which lead to more clues, and so on. But in a race against time and against his rich rival Ian Howe, Ben Gates gets closer to true treasure than ever before. National Treasure is starring Nicolas Cage as Benjamin Franklin Gates, treasure hunter and cryptographer. Sean Bean as Ian Howe, entrepreneur and treasure hunter. Diane Kruger as Dr. Abigail Chase, archivist at the National Archives. Justin Bartha as Riley Poole, computer expert. John Voight as Patrick Henry Gates, Ben's father. Christopher Plummer as John Adams Gates, Ben's grandfather, and Harvey Keitel as FBI Special Agent Peter Sadusky. National Treasure was released on November 19, 2004. It has a sequel called National Treasure Book of Secrets, which came out in 2007. And supposedly, I have heard or read some buzz that there's an upcoming TV show for National Treasure on Disney+. And I'm kind of looking forward to that. It has a rating of PG. In fact, this movie was oddly clean. It had hardly any bad stuff in it.
It's very
clean. So I can see why it's on Disney+. It was written by Jim Koof or Kalf. I'm not sure how to pronounce that last name. Cormac Wibberly and Myanne Wibberly. I might have butchered those names too. I apologize.
Why did your voice get so high?
Directed by John Turteltaub. And as I've already mentioned, this is on Disney+.
All right. I'm not going to lie. This is
one of my favorite movies. No. I just want to point out, you know it's a bad movie when Todd doesn't give trivia.
No, remember, I'm skipping trivia for other reasons.
No. It's because it's a bad movie.
So Yeah, this is one of my favorite movies. I'm not gonna lie. I will be out there for front row and praise it. I enjoyed this movie, but I can tell Andrew's a little hesitant. So Andrew's saying humbug to it. Todd, what are you thinking?
I think somewhere in the middle, but still leaning toward the positive. I consider this to be a very solid, stable movie. I kind of compare this to Stargate SG-1, which might be a weird comparison.
Todd gets long-winded explaining his analogy. Here's the short version. Some of his favorite shows have some superb episodes, but also a share of terrible ones. Star Trek The Next Generation is a good example. But Stargate SG-1 doesn't vary as much. The vast majority of SG-1 episodes are between fine and great, but not as much bad or superb.
Well, that's kind of the way I feel about this movie. I was actually watching it, and it was about 50 to 58 minutes into the movie before I took my first note, because there was nothing that was mind-blowingly great about the movie, but there was nothing terrible about it either. There was nothing so extreme that I felt like I had to write it down, yet I was enjoying the movie too. So that's how I kind of end up in the middle, but leaning toward the positive.
Okay. I got you. So yeah, let's talk about this movie a little bit. I'm a little curious. Oh, I won't be too hard on Andrew, but, so Andrew, what's your hiccup on this movie?
Don't get me wrong, because I was just trying to be funny, but
okay.
It is a decent movie. I can appreciate what it is, even though I might not have necessarily enjoyed it all the way. You know, it is a decent movie. It is well made. It is well produced. There are at least some compelling parts, but something about it just didn't grab me. And maybe it'll come back on a rewatch. And it's like I want to like this movie, but I just don't, you know?
Okay.
I mean, so not it might just be something that, you know, I was just having a bad day and I just, you know, woke up on the wrong side of the bed. But something about this movie, it couldn't compel me no matter how hard I tried.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, do you like TV shows like Survivor or The Amazing Race or anything like that or no?
I've never typically watched those kind of TV shows.
Okay. I'm just
it's
curious.
Just not what I don't think I've ever watched one of those TV shows. It's just never happened.
Okay. So the whole like finding clues and solving mysteries and following the trail to get to the treasure at the end is not your style. You know, you're too young to. I grew up on Hardy Boys. You know, that's what we read when I was middle school. Had a whole shelf full of the Hardy Boys, and it was all about finding the clues and solving the mysteries and finding the treasure map and deciphering the map and getting to the treasure at the end. So movies like this just they excite me. I just love them, and especially when they're done really, really well with some really cool clues, which I thought this had. But it's not for everybody. You know, some people love murder mysteries. Your mother, my sister, you know, loved Murder, She Wrote forever.
Oh, my gosh. She still watches the murder.
I couldn't stand. And it does. It's not that they're not bad. It's not that they're bad in any way, shape or form. It just means nothing to me. I just could care less about what's going on Murder, She Wrote.
And who was a significant writer and or producer on Murder, She Wrote there for a while? J. Michael Straczynski, creator of Babylon 5, the best TV show. That's a little bit of a reference to the review that we did right before this, where I mentioned J. Michael Straczynski just right and left.
Apparently, it's a running joke now. It's a thing.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I did not know he had anything to do with Murder, She Wrote, but that's awesome. Okay.
According to IMDb, J. Michael Straczynski was a writer of 7 episodes, co-producer of 22 episodes, and producer of 8 episodes, all in the early 90s. Plus the writer and producer of A Murder, She Wrote TV movie in 2000.
Good to know. Okay. So what else? What do we want to talk about with this movie? Did you guys like the plot? I mean, it's pretty cool. There's a treasure map on the back of the Declaration of Independence, mm-hmm. right?
That doesn't mean it's got a good plot, though. That's just a nice detail about the movie. I wouldn't call that a, like, I wouldn't say that affects the plot too much.
That was like 75% of the plot.
But still... That's all you've got in the plot, then where are you going? Like, I get it. We've got this clue, and then we've got another clue, and then we just keep getting more and more clues. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I don't care what clue. I don't care if they put, you know, pull a bunny out of a hat or put a cigarette through a quarter for a clue.
What?
You know, just get to the end and get to the treasure and get to where we eventually shoot the guy. And then they never even shot the guy.
Yeah, no, the point is not to shoot anybody.
It should be. It should be. J. Michael Krasinski would want someone to be shot.
Krasinski. Krasinski.
That's what I said. Krasinski.
Okay. Okay. I got you. I guess for you, was it the type of action maybe wasn't enough?
It's not even the fact that, you know, I don't know.
I mean, he jumped off the back of the aircraft carrier into the Hudson.
Mm-hmm. I've done that before.
This is pretty cool. Yeah. And I even like the line where the lady, you know, the police officer or FBI agent's in the helicopter and it's like, does anybody have eyes on him? And it's like, sir, it's the Hudson. Nothing is visible. It's like muddy, nasty water. How many of the facts that they were using to solve these mysteries did you know? Or did you just not know any of them and want to live your life in ignorance?
First of all, ouch.
I'm just asking.
No. That was a personal attack. Okay. When y'all say you don't like Dr. Who, I'm like, oh, you must be stupid. Too stupid to understand wibbly wobbly. That's not what I say. I say you're stupid because Dr. Who is awesome. Okay.
I'm just asking.
And I'm glad you're not asking me because I'm not a history buff either.
Right. It's not the fact that I'm not a history buff. It's just something about the fact that every time I would get compelled by a clue and I'm like, wow, that's actually kind of interesting. Oh, wow. You know, the bifocals, you know, every time I get compelled by a clue, it immediately gets followed up with action.
Okay.
And then the action takes away from the clue. Because sometimes I'm like, maybe we should like talk more about the clue. Maybe we should go deeper into the clue. I would like to go deeper in the clue. And then the action happens. And it's not that either the action or the clue is bad. But it's, you know, then the action happens. And now I'm distracted. And now I'm like, okay, this action is kind of cool. Even though I kind of wanted to hear about the clue. And then we get away from the action. And then we go to the clue. And I'm like, well, maybe the action, I would have wanted a little more of that. That was kind of cut. It feels like we're balancing two types of plots here. Are we wanting an action movie or are we wanting a clue movie? You got to balance the two worlds. You know, they're both great worlds, but I don't want worlds colliding and causing an explosion in my movie, right?
I understand now. It wasn't a TikTok video, so it was beyond the 30-second mind span.
No, that's not what I don't even watch TikTok, man.
I had heard this about your generation. I just hadn't witnessed
my generation? Are you being Gen Z phobic, my man? Are you being racist towards an entire generation? Hey, man, your daughters are in my damn generation.
I'm just curious. I mean, you know, when they're talking about Wall Street, did you know that Wall Street was actually built on the remains of a wall where there was a wall, a fortification wall?
I'm glad you're not asking me.
Oh, see, I mean, there's a lot of these facts that are just really cool.
These facts, yeah. These facts that immediately get, you know, smushed into the ground. Because they're immediately followed up by actions.
Well, I mean, I think they sprinkled in the action because, I mean, it wouldn't be an action movie without it.
Well, I mean, screw it. Let's just make it an entire documentary. You know? If we're going to go in with the clues, commit to the clues. If you're going to go in with the action, commit to the action. Something about this style of movie does not ring with me.
We're going to have to do a an escape room. That's going to have to be a discerning geeks like field trip. I'm not sure how we're going to record it, but we're going to have to do an escape room now.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm down for an escape room. As long as the escape room, I'm not like, wow, this is a really cool clue. We should like, you know, follow up on this clue. And then I immediately get shot at.
No, but the part of the whole thing with the escape room is you have a time limit. You know, you get that clue, you are on a clock. You've got to immediately jump to the next clue and decipher what it means. And so, yeah, you know, there's a clock ticking.
So it is like a TikTok video?
Yeah, a little bit. Nice. So we may have to figure out how we'll do that. Maybe we'll just do one and we'll discuss it.
We'll just bring a camera and be like
bonus episode, or we could do a video. We'll figure it out. I think we're going to have to do this. But yeah, I mean, this is a great movie. These are great characters. Nicolas Cage now has a movie about being an iconic superstar movie person. That's the plot of the movie. He plays himself. He's so iconic and cool.
I don't know where you were going with that.
I just think I haven't seen that movie yet. Have y'all seen that movie?
No, I don't even know where you're
talking
about.
Which movie you're talking about?
Todd told me he spaced out during editing this portion too and had to listen to the last 2 or 3 minutes all over again, and he still doesn't know what they're talking about. So, if he missed taking out some awkward pauses or a weird noise or something, oh well.
The Nicolas Cage movie that's out right now in the theaters, basically he's playing himself.
Yeah, so I've heard about it, but I don't know anything about it.
Yeah. And it talks about how like he's such an iconic superhero, kind of like not superhero, but like actor hero people. But yeah, so we have Nicolas Cage who's playing awesome. And there's a love story here. So we get to intertwine in a little romance and love story.
Oh my gosh. Lovey-dovey garbage. Okay. Yep. You can't throw in history facts, interesting clues, action, and lovey-dovey garbage.
Really? You cannot? Have you ever watched a movie? Combinations of action and lovey-dovey stuff makes up 90% of what I watch.
It's almost like a Princess Bride.
Don't even compare this movie to Princess Bride.
We get the romance. We get the mystery solved. It's another version of the Princess Bride.
No,
a little bit more of a modern retelling.
Because Princess Bride knows how to balance. Okay, Princess Bride knows pacing and timing. You know, this is where we should put our action. This is where we should put more action after that action. This is where we should put more action after this action. And then after that action, we cut to Princess Buttercup in the tower. Okay. Princess Bride knows how to make it manage. Okay.
Part of me says this is no Princess Bride. There again, I have a more tempered review of Princess Bride than most people. Yes, I like it, but I don't love it as much as the rest of the world loves it. So maybe this is kind of like Princess Bride for me. It's just, I think if that's true for me, I don't think it means the same thing for you, because I know you put both on a pedestal and I put both kind of not on top of the pedestal, but kind of mounted to the side of the pedestal.
Okay. So I do want to kind of been hounding Andrew a little bit, but I want to make sure that I talk about the positive aspects of this movie, the things that I really, really do enjoy. I enjoyed the clues. I thought they were very well thought out. I thought they were really cool. I liked that they brought in the Freemasons. Normally, I'm not a big fan of bringing in Freemasons, because to me, it's a overused villain or overused kind of plot device. It's like, oh, anytime there's a mystery, just bring in the Freemasons and that'll be it. But to me, it fit with this, the whole plot with the Freemasons and the actual facts. And maybe that's one of the reasons that I do like this movie so much, is I've taken time to research some of these things and to know that many, many of our founding fathers were Freemasons. I mean, that's not a made up plot device. It's an actual true fact. And So this movie blends historic facts with these kind of, you know, mysteries and clues. I don't really believe that there's a map on the back of the Declaration of Independence, but the facts that they use to support that there could be are all true facts. And so it was actually pretty cool that they used a lot of actual real life facts in their, the way they're talking about things. You know, they look at the clock on the back of the $100 bill. It's, if you look at a $100 bill, that it's not a made up $100 bill that they're just making up things. No, that's really there. The goggles that Ben Franklin invented, you know, or the glasses, that's an actual thing that he invented. Now, we don't really know exactly what it would have been used for, but it could have been used for something very much like this clue on the back of the Declaration of Independence. So it's that mixture of fact with the fiction story aspect that I just found really, really embracing. I won't make comments that, you know, people that didn't get that maybe need to read more history and just, you know, maybe they're not doing very well in school.
I have 100 in world history. End of sentence.
I thought the action was cool. And we'll get to nitpicks, you know, is the big, huge, rusty wooden structure underground next to the subway. I'm not sure how much of that would have still been standing.
And it's under a graveyard because they make that mention too. So yeah, people are constantly digging up above this thing, and it's got a subway either above it or off to the side of it. So that didn't bother me though. I didn't think that much about that.
Right. Well, I mean, because they did make it rickety enough that, I mean, it wasn't like it was pristine and they're like, oh yeah, this thing's been here. No, I mean, it looked like it had been there for a couple of hundred years and it was about to fall apart. So yeah, it definitely was pretty cool. Any other positives?
Oh, I haven't gotten to mine yet.
Oh yeah, go ahead. Let me
so this movie, as you kind of already described, this movie is full of history, science, mystery, code breaking, word puzzles, intrigue. It's got a lot of good stuff in it. And even if some of the history and science is kind of make-believe history or science in order to just kind of tell this adventure story, it's still neat. The other thing I felt about the movie as I was watching is it's just fun. It seemed like there are the right amounts of action and lightheartedness. In fact, you were talking about how it's an action movie. At moments, it definitely is, but it's not so much of an action movie that the action kind of takes over. There are still nice moments of like I said, like the mystery stuff, but almost kind of semi-educational stuff too. And then on top of that, the movie begins with the stealing of the Declaration of Independence. And I'd almost forgotten about some of the stuff that comes after that. So part of the movie is almost like a heist movie. So you get a little bit of a heist in there. Oh, and speaking of heist, considering how you trashed Ocean's 11 when we reviewed that, and that was one of my favorite movies. I really should be trashing this right now, but Andrew's doing that for me. But no, there seems to be so much stuff in here that, like I said, it's a very stable movie. Like I said, I kind of compared it to Stargate SG-1. It's like right in the middle on everything. And so it kind of does the right amount of action, lightheartedness. All the twists seem logical and kind of feel earned. Everything is just kind of even keel. It's like it doesn't have too much of everything. Like I said, the first part of the movie is kind of like a heist movie, but it's not the whole movie was a heist movie. So it kind of does a little bit of everything. And in the course of one movie, we get to see the Arctic Circle, Washington, Philadelphia, New York, and kind of sort of a little piece of Boston, so little that they might have been able to fake it. But technically, there's that one little scene that takes place in a Boston neighborhood. So yeah, we get to see a lot too. And I've still got kind of another thing, but I've been rambling, so I'll let somebody else go.
No, I think that's very true.
I have a positive.
You have a positive. Go for it.
I think that the clues and, you know, the whole code breaking and, you know, going from one clue to the next and that's what makes this a standout movie. If you're going to enjoy this movie, it's going to be because it makes you think and you like how they're, you know, solving clues and going from one clue to the next to the next to the next. And they are interesting. And I do like them.
Okay.
It sounded like I was leading into a but.
That's okay. No, that was good. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the strength. It was funny. I think you had mentioned before we started podcasting something about kind of enjoying it with the kids. And I do have to throw that out there as a positive. And Todd kind of mentioned it earlier when he was doing the rundown. This is a fun Disney movie. And actually, I don't even think it was originally Disney. Maybe it was.
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure if this was a Disney acquired or was originally, anyways, but it's just a fun, wholesome movie. There is nothing in there that I ever had to worry about watching it with my kids.
Guns.
They did have guns, but I'm not one of those that, you know.
The Declaration of Independence is a bad influence on your kids.
Yeah. That shies away from that. I think, you know, guns done responsibly is what needs to happen. But yeah, with my kids, I could watch them and they enjoyed parts of it. It was a little over their head for the most part. So it wasn't one that they were loving and all into, but it was really nice to just be able to sit down and watch this movie. And I watched it a couple of times because it's been a little while since we, kind of picked this one and we're finally getting around to recording it. So I watched it a couple of times just to make sure it was fresh and I didn't have to pause it whenever they came into the room or worry about any inappropriate parts or anything like that. So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Talking about whether it's a Disney movie or not. So on Wikipedia, the production companies involved in this were Walt Disney, Jerry Bruckheimer Films, okay. Junction Entertainment, and Saturn Films. So it's kind of a combination of things. And it was distributed by Buena Vista, either Buena Vista or Buena Vista Pictures. And I think that is the distribution arm of Walt Disney, I think.
Okay. A Bruckheimer film, man. You got to know it's great. What else? Do we want to kind of switch over and start talking about some nitpicks?
Well, I've still got a little bit more.
Okay.
All right. So to follow up on what you were talking about, it being pretty clean, the only profanity in the movie, and I mean possibly the only profanity. I don't even know if I heard a damn or hell or anything. The only profanity in the movie.
Whoa.
Oh, sorry. The only profanity in the movie is very brief, and I think it's in German. And I didn't bother getting the translation of it. So who knows? Maybe it's not even profanity. So yeah, I'm assuming it is safe for kids and that's how they pulled off the PG. Another thing, you know, we already talked about the different settings that it goes to in America and how it plays on history and stuff like that. Considering some of the things that have gone on in our country in the last 7 years, it is sometimes hard to have the most positive thoughts about our country. But this movie does a very good job of making the United States seem majestic. Granted, we've got some ugly parts of our history, but this movie kind of focuses on the really nice parts and the smart parts, the parts that make you feel a little bit better about where we came from and how the nation was formed. And again, yes, there are some not so great parts along the way, both recently and in the beginning. But it kind of focuses on the most positive parts in a good way and makes you feel like there was something kind of, you know, somewhat powerful at work in the foundation and progression of this country. And so it does kind of make you feel better about those things. And then another thing I was thinking about while you guys were talking, it's something I mentioned in not our last episode, but the two before that, was that our other Dave, who's no longer with us. One of the things that he said about the movie Dune that I hated, but that he loved, was he said one of the things he loved about it was that it made you think. And I can't help but wonder if he would feel similarly about this movie, that this is the kind of movie that makes you think. And even if it's not the kind of movie that makes you think, is the kind of movie that tells you things and tells you things that maybe you need to know. because like I said, it does kind of delve into the more majestic aspects of U.S. history. And I know that he was a major history buff too. So I'm kind of curious what he would think about this movie. And I'd like to think that he would say, yeah, either it makes you think or it teaches you stuff. And that those would be some of the things he would love about it.
Yeah, I think it would have been interesting to get Dave's feedback on this one. And see where he fell and what his comments were, because I'm with you. I think he would have definitely felt like there were some areas that made you think. And I liked what you pointed out. And I don't know that I would have called that out as a positive, but to me it really is. I do like how they portrayed a section of the founding fathers of our country in this movie. The United States, no country's past is perfect. None, period. And so, because it's made up of sinful, broken people like we all are. But that being said, there were very intelligent minded people that were doing this process when our country was first formed. When you're talking about writing the Declaration of Independence, when you're talking about writing the Constitution, when you're talking about creating a country and doing it in such a way that it's self-policing and has built-in safety nets to where it tries to avoid tyranny. It's really cool what they did. And, you know, the main character here, you know, Benjamin Franklin was a big part of that. And you know, now he's not a perfect person. Like anybody else, I'm sure he's got things in his past, just like we all do. But the thought and the intelligence it took for them to pull off what they did, creating a country the way that they did and making it stick for the most part, was really kind of, some people feel like it was divinely inspired. Mm-hmm. And maybe it was, I don't know. It really is reassuring and kind of nice the way this movie portrays some of this that happened and some of the things that went behind the scenes in creating this country. And even the big premise, you know, these people had a treasure that even at that time would have instantly transformed like the United States into like one of the richest countries on the map before it even really had its own money. And yet they knew that it was too much and not the right time. You know, now that this is the fictional part, but you know, it was kind of cool that played into this movie. You know, well, okay, now what do we do with it? You know, what do you do with this fantastical treasure? And I like the part at the end where his sidekick, and I can't remember his name now. Riley, you know, is kind of complaining because they didn't take the normal finder's fee, which is like normally 10%. I mean, you're talking 10% of the just ginormously wealthy treasure that is more money than any of them would have ever needed. And I think he said they ended up taking one half of 1%. So they basically took 1% and split it between the two of them. Still, I mean, obviously he bought a really nice house, right? Yeah. but it was being responsible and not just kind of taking advantage. And so that's why I like some of these characters and I liked where it went, the whole movie went. So I'm glad you pointed that out. I appreciate it. Did you pick up on any of that, Andrew?
I was zoning out even more than I was talking about.
I figured you were. You need to watch the second movie. It's just as good.
Almost. There's another one?
Yeah.
Oh my
God. I wish there were a trilogy.
There was going to be, but apparently, I think, sadly, I think Nicolas Cage was too busy to kind of actually film it. I was kind of looking at
Nicolas Cage is in this movie. Dang, I think I watched the wrong movie.
What other positives did you have, Todd, or did we get through them all?
I think those were the main ones.
Okay. Yep. All right. So let's do some nitpicks.
Yes.
Some negatives, some nitpicks. Yes. Who wants to start us off? Does Andrew?
It's repetitive.
It's repetitive? Okay. How's it repetitive?
It's repetitive. The whole clue, then action, then clue. It's repetitive. It gets repetitive really fast. And even though the clues are interesting, it doesn't change the fact it's repetitive. I get it's the whole format of the movie, but it's really repetitive.
And the movie is even a little bit self-aware about that because it does have the father complaining about it.
For real. And it's really repetitive.
Okay. I can give you that. Because it does. The father makes which will lead to another clue.
It's almost like if it were D&D, it would just be a series of random encounters.
Yeah. I just don't get... I don't know. It just seems too repetitive. Like, it starts to lose me at a certain point. And that's one of the reasons I think you lose interest as you get closer to the climax. You start out the movie. Oh, wow. You know, they're in the Arctic. Oh, wow. Explosion. Oh, wow. He's stealing the Declaration of Independence. Oh, wow. Look at all these clues. More clues.
Okay.
More clues.
I gotcha. Well,
I definitely see what you're saying because I think I did feel a little tiny twinge of frustration over it's another thing. But they do kind of switch things up closer to the end in setting, in tone, in how the characters interact, because you've got the our main character, Ben Gates, and our villain, Ian Howe, and this is where we might have to get into the spoilers if we haven't done it already. You kind of got them competing, but then there comes a point where they actually have to start working together, and not necessarily willingly, but still there's a little bit of a switch in how the characters are working in the movie. Also, one thing I forgot, you know, I was mentioning all that historical stuff that we get, but right before they're forced to work together, we also get the scene in New York of the Intrepid Museum, which is a museum made out of one of the aircraft carriers, and it's got other all kinds of historic aircraft on it. So not only do we get the old timey historic stuff, we also get the technology that has come out of the United States too. So we kind of get that aspect of our history, you know, both the really old stuff and the modern too. Yes, it might be a little bit repetitive, but it's not like it's the exact same thing over and over again. There is kind of a progression of the characters and how they interact as well.
Still, even when we get to, they start working together and then they go down and, eventually, yay, good guys get the treasure, whatever. It isn't even as interesting or compelling to me as, say, even the first scene, when they're in the Arctic on the boat. Or this next big scene after where they're stealing the Declaration. Those are the highlights of the movie right there. And they were in the first, 30 minutes? We're going downhill as we get closer to the end of the movie. That's not how it should be,
Okay. I got you. Not going to say I agree, but I got you.
That's the best thing about our podcast. We don't always have to agree. And I feel like maybe a rewatch someday I might enjoy this movie. But right now, after my watching, I just did not enjoy it.
So another question for you, and this is just kind of to pique my curiosity. Did you enjoy when we went to the battleship North Carolina?
Very much, yes.
At the beach? Okay.
And what about when we went to Jamestown right before the pandemic, or technically as the pandemic was starting?
Yeah, as the pandemic closed down the world.
We were mid vacation when the world exploded, and that was cool, even though I don't remember too much because I was a little bit on the younger side.
Okay. I was just curious. I was always one that I loved reading, you know, Blackbeard and all of that. And hey, there are these actual treasures out there and mysteries. And what's the TV show now? I'll be honest, it's not one that I've kept up with, just because I'm kind of like, if they really found it, I would hear about it in a way that's not going to be in a TV show. And that's the Money Pit, where they're trying to dig down and get to the the buried treasure. Have y'all seen that TV show?
Mm-mm. Is it called Outer Banks?
No. Well, Outer Banks, that's a different TV show. No, there's a real life TV show where they're following these guys and they're digging down in this well. It's not Oak Island.
It's not Oak Island. I was just messing with you. Yeah. Treasure on Oak Island is the same show that's been repeated for a ton of seasons and has gone nowhere.
Yeah. The Treasure on Oak Island. Yeah. It's not North Carolina Oak Island. It's actually one up north where they're trying to actually, because there's...
Wait, we were talking about Oak Island. Yeah, that show gets on my nerves because it's gone nowhere, basically. They're no closer to finding the treasure than when they started. At least in this movie, there's an actual progression of steps.
Right.
It doesn't just lead nowhere every single step.
I mean, eventually, hopefully, they'll find out if there's a treasure at the bottom.
And if they do, then that'd be the coolest show to watch ever, right?
Right.
But
right, no, I'm with you.
Until then,
that's why I don't watch the show, because I remember reading up the story of the Treasure of Oak Island like in elementary school. You know, so this is not a new treasure that's been out there. So there are things like this that have been around for years and years and years and years, and nobody's known how to solve them. So that's kind of why I like the movie, but. Other nitpicks.
Do you have one, Dave?
Go
ahead, pit the neck about this movie. Go ahead and nick that pit.
I don't have a lot of nitpicks about this movie. I enjoyed most of it. I mean, I'm trying to if I had one, it seems like kind of like very close to the end of the movie. Well, it's actually right at the end of it. They mislead the other people who are trying to solve and find the treasure by giving them a wrong clue, you know, and it's, you know, one if by land, two if by sea kind of lantern. And it almost felt like, okay, nobody's going to fall for that. And yet they do fall for it. And it wasn't even an accurate clue. Like the whole premise behind it was wrong. And so it's like, oh, surely they're not going to fall for that. And they did. And that's kind of how they win. And they get the treasure in the end. That would be my big nitpick, was, you know, the one clue kind of that they used to mislead the other group to be able to get to the treasure. And I'm not really sure that that's how they would have acted anyways. It's like, oh yeah, we're just going to leave you down here to rot while I go pick up the treasure in the other spot. And it's like, well, what if there's another clue? Oh, well, I'll know where to come get you. You know, you're not going to leave somebody down there to be able to like find the other clues while you're still looking. That would be my biggest nitpick. That just happened at the very end. And I didn't feel like it was a very believable false trail that they sent them on.
See, I was actually okay with it. Now, I kind of spaced out a little bit at what the exact reference was, and I wouldn't know whether it's historically accurate or whatever. But what I liked about it was it kind of highlighted the different motivations and the different backgrounds, because the Gates family, they are actually fans of history and they know what's going on. And they're so good at it that even the father, who's not really into this thing, is able to bluff on cue, like without even thinking about it. He just rattles this stuff off. And our Sean Bean character, he does not know this stuff, which means all of his treasure hunting is for the wrong reasons. In fact, it wasn't until I was reading the Wikipedia summary to do the rundown that I even realized that Sean Bean's character himself was supposedly a treasure hunter. I thought he was just a rich guy who was bankrolling the Gates guy, his treasure hunting. But no, he was supposedly a treasure hunter himself. But he apparently does it more for just the treasure. Like, he's motivated by the monetary value, or maybe a little bit of a fame or something, rather than Gates, who's in it for the historical value. So I was actually totally okay with the fact that he was fooled by that. And I actually kind of liked it. In fact, I kind of saw it coming a little bit, because granted, I've seen this movie before, but it's been so long, I kind of forgot it, but I kind of had vague memories. So as it was happening, I was like, I think I know what's going on, but I think I like it too. And sure enough, that's what happened. And then as far as leaving him down there, I think that plays more into how we were talking about this movie being kind of clean, because even though Sean Bean's character is kind of the villain, he's not an outright killer.
Right.
Because really the only person that died in this movie was the guy who stepped on one of those rotting stairs and fell down into a bottomless pit. And we don't even see or hear him land. He just kind of falls and keeps falling. And so he has a very sanitized death. I mean, who knows? Maybe he even survived that. So I think that kind of plays into the movie being clean, because he didn't kill anybody. Now, granted, he could have said, okay, I've got my clue, I'll let you guys out. But then he has no insurance. So I think he's still enough of a villain to leave them down there, but he's not going to kill them either. And so I kind of felt like everything there worked out okay.
Okay. Yeah, I think my biggest problem there was, I think Ben Gates' character at some point even talks about this guy. My brain is not working tonight as far as names go, but the other treasure hunter,
Ian talks
about how intelligent he is. Not only is he really intelligent, but he has nearly unlimited resources, was the line that he used. And so he kind of has a lot of this same history that, that Ben Gates has, maybe not as much, you know, just because of the backgrounds, but he was very intelligent. So that was why I was a little bit, okay, would he have really fallen for that? But yeah, I mean, it played in and it was really nice and it did keep the movie clean. So I like that. Any other nitpicks before we get into our lightning round?
Yeah, I've got a couple. Andrew, do you have any?
Nah, go ahead.
Okay. So I mentioned that the first part of the movie is kind of a heist movie, and I think it transitions from heist movie to something else, maybe a little too conveniently, because they go through all this about how the Declaration is in this bulletproof case and it's lowered down into a vault and everything. But the way they get around that is, yes, but sometimes it has to be taken out of the vault to be cleaned, and it goes into a cleaning room. That happens during a kind of get together where there's a party upstairs or something. I'm thinking, if there's a party upstairs, maybe they should leave it in the vault, or maybe it should still be displayed. Why would it be in the restoration room? Also, once it is in the restoration room, it's unguarded. So what's the point of sometimes keeping it in this massive vault when sometimes when you're going to restore it, you're just going to say, we'll get to it tomorrow, and just leave it there, because he's actually able to carry out the bulletproof case. And it's like, maybe that should be too heavy to carry or something. It just seemed like the heist aspect was really difficult in the beginning, but as soon as they found this one little loophole, then it was too convenient. And then the other little nitpick I have is that I liked the fact that they brought up daylight savings time when the time of day and a shadow being cast was one of the clues. And in fact, I kind of saw that coming too. I was like, what about daylight savings time? And sure enough, they brought it up and I thought, okay, that's pretty cool. But
at this point, Todd gets his wires crossed between daylight saving time and leap years. The short version of his long-winded explanation is that he is not sure the shadow would perfectly point to the correct brick at the same time every day of every year.
I think that the whole shadow thing might have been a little bit overly convenient, even when they factored in daylight saving time.
I don't know. I don't know how that works and how long it takes for that to change.
Yeah.
Because I know that there is a memorial. I think it's a World War II memorial. Maybe it's a D-Day memorial in Virginia that has a sun position clock on it. And like at a certain time, on a certain day, at a certain time, the sun shines through basically a glass piece in the memorial to cause a certain image to show on the walk. It only happens like once a year that it has to line up this way. But I don't know how long it takes for that to get out of focus. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, it all changes eventually. But I think it takes a long time. I think it takes more than a couple of hundred years for that to actually become offset, you know, a significant amount enough that it would matter. I could be wrong.
Well, so maybe it still would work out. And either way, I do still kind of give it a little bit of a pass, because the whole point of that shadow was basically just point to a brick. And as long as
the brick had a symbol on it too.
Yeah. And as long as it got close, because of the symbol, as long as it got close, he could probably still find it anyway.
Any other ones?
Mm-hmm. I've got one I'll save for lightning round.
Well, let's get into our lightning round.
Lift off and the clock is starting.
Lightning round. Grab your dice.
Five.
19.
Ooh, I got a 19 too. All right. Reroll. Oh, 17.
One.
Oh.
So, Dave, me, Todd.
Yeah, that works. All right, okay. Todd.
Dave, are you ready?
I am ready whenever you are.
Okay. And go.
I can't praise this movie enough. Yeah, if you want a good time and you want to learn some things about history, about our country, this is a great way to do it. Enjoy it with the whole family, the kids. Create your own treasure hunt. Just make it a whole fun thing. I love treasures and treasure hunts. This just is to me, the quintessential treasure hunt movie. So, that's all I got. I think it's great.
Okay.
And now we get to go to Grumpkins over there. All right, Andrew, you got 30 seconds too.
I swear.
Ready to trash it? Ready?
I'm ready.
And go.
This movie has interesting clues, you know, interesting history facts. I can appreciate the concept, even though I might not have enjoyed it all the way. It is a decent, well-made movie. The main character is compelling and has an interesting backstory, you know, throughout the whole bloodline. But it is repetitive. It's a little cliche. Loses interest as you go throughout the movie and gets a little bit worse as you go on. And, you know, just didn't enjoy the execution.
Okay, and I'm last, and I have hardly anything left, so I don't know how this is going to go. Ready, and go. A quote from Riley. Why can't they just say, go to this place, and here's the treasure, spend it wisely? The motivation of Sean Bean's villain character was a little thin, though not unrealistic. He was already rich, he just wanted to be richer. Okay, I've got 19 seconds. Did you know that Nicolas Cage was at one time supposed to play Superman? The late, great John Schnepp did a documentary film called The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened, where he talks about, where he documents what was supposed to happen in that crazy, crazy movie. And time.
Cool. Okay. All right. Now this is where the rubber hits the road, and we put a rating on this movie.
Ratings.
I'm trying to decide if I want to pull rank and go first. I think I do. Okay. I don't want Andrew to go first this time. I want to go first. I don't.
Dang, wow. Yeah,
you know, hey.
You know, just because I was a little rude.
Yeah, that's okay.
I was being rude about it. I called it a good movie.
I kind of joked before we started podcasting a little bit, but I'm actually sticking by it. This is a movie that I have literally watched just about any time that it's been on TV and I've noticed it, I will stop and watch it. And it is one that I own and I go to frequently. I probably watch this movie several times a year. So it's one that I go back to again and again and again, and I always enjoy watching it. And for that reason alone, that I can just keep going back to it and watch it. And even though I already know all the clues and I know all the plot that's going on and I know everything that's going to happen, and I still enjoy it and I can keep going back to it, This gets a perfect 10 from me. This is only my second DM. So, yeah.
Wow. Nice. Okay, so you said it's only the second time. What was the other one?
The Princess Bride, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I compared it to The Princess Bride in the podcast, and yeah, for me it is. It's a 10. So it's probably not a perfect film, and it's definitely not for everybody, but for me, it's enjoyable every single time I watch it, and it stands up, and I don't have to worry about it, you know, getting boring, because I've probably watched it at least 20 or 30 times, and yeah, I enjoy it. So it gets a perfect 10.
Nice.
All right, Andrew, what you got?
Well, I can appreciate this movie for what it is. And some people might think just because I'm giving it this grade makes it think that it's a bad movie. It's not a bad movie. It is extremely well made. There's a lot of moving parts that I can appreciate, and it's not too much, but in the end, it gets a plain old C, which most people would think is pretty bad, but that's actually pretty middle of the road, mm-hmm. You know? I think that if it were bad, like, I think the worst movie that we've ever reviewed was, what was that, crappy Mars kid alien? The, like, lovey-dovey?
The Space Between Us.
That was a good movie. That was fun.
That would get...
All right, Andrew, we are back with you. Go ahead and finish out your rating for National Treasure.
Like I was saying, even though it was a well-made movie and there are parts that I can see enjoyment in, and some parts I did enjoy, like the heist and even the first 10 minutes, and most of the clues were enjoyable, I overall just did not have a good enough time watching this movie. And that's why I gave it a C. You know, it's just cliche and repetitive in some parts. And I just lost interest more and more as we went through the movie. And I'm sure that I'll pick it up for a rewatch one day and be like, man, this is awesome. But okay. Yeah, that's just my first impression.
Sounds good. We appreciate that. Todd, it's up to you. Where are you at?
Okay, oddly enough, this movie is very close to the movie that we did before this, Thor. That movie I gave a B+, and I think I said I ranked it 27th out of 59. This movie is also a B+, and I rank it 28th out of 59, but they're both kind of within a point on a percentage grade or something. So I would say this is definitely a very good movie in a lot of ways. I think maybe it didn't rise to absolute greatness of the A range or to be considered one of my favorite movies of all time, but that's kind of what B+ is. It's kind of like the ultimate runner up category. I think it's that good that it's almost there. Which reminds me of a question I was wanting to ask you, Dave, since you did give this movie a 10, and you did kind of hint a little bit at National Treasure 2, I was wondering, which one is better? I mean, well, there again, if you're giving this one a 10, the other one would have to be equally awesome to be better. So Is this one better than the second one, or is the second one equal, or what?
To me, this one is better than the second one. The second one has its positive points, and it still has some of the very similar characteristics. You're finding clues and following clues to get to another treasure. And it even, you would probably like it because, you know, they even go overseas. I think they end up in Paris. I don't think it's London. No. Though. Wait, no, they do. Cause they end up, they do end up in London because They're at the Queen's palace place. They have to break into the Queen's palace. In that one.
With
Buckingham Palace, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. But it is Buckingham, not Windsor.
Sadly, it's been a while since I've watched that one. So you might actually fall in the other category just because you love those aspects. So it would be definitely worth a watch for you. But I personally like the first one better. I just felt like the plot was a little bit smoother. But the second one had its moments and it hasn't had its good points. So, it's worth watching. But it doesn't come to that level, that 10 level that the first one did. But yeah, I think you had mentioned that there were talks of doing a third movie, but sadly those fell through. But I think there is still hope that they're going to do some kind of TV series on Disney Plus. So
yes,
we may still get some Disney or get some National Treasure coming later from Disney Plus. So.
Yes. In fact, I just looked that up and it's going to be produced by Jerry Bruckheimer Television. The writers are going to be Cormac Wibberly and Marianne Wibberly, who wrote the first one. I don't know if they wrote the second movie or not. It looks like I don't really recognize too many of the names in the cast, but Catherine Zeta-Jones is in Ooh. The cast. And it looks like one person who is returning is Justin Bartha as Riley Poole.
Cool. Yeah, Riley gets to do a little bit more in the second movie. He's a little bit more of a... In the first movie, he just becomes kind of almost that sounding board where they're telling the smart stuff to so that they can get it out to the audience. Mm-hmm. And in the second one, he gets to kind of come into his own and do a little bit more of his own stuff, which is kind of cool. So I don't know. It's definitely worth a watch. I would recommend going out and watching it. I'm sure it's on Disney Plus, just like the first one. So it wouldn't be very hard to find. Okay. I think that wraps up our review of National Treasure. I'd mentioned it at the beginning of the podcast, but I definitely want to mention it again. We encourage you to let us know what you thought of this movie. Let us know what you think of, if there's a better movie out that falls in this category. We'd love to hear it. Maybe we'll do a review on it. And we are switching up our Wheel of Insanity. So, you know, we're not rolling this week, but because we're going to be kicking off season 3 coming up in just a few episodes. So we definitely want to encourage you guys to hang out with us as we get to our 100th episode. And we'll kick off season 3 and we'll change up our Wheel of Insanity, maybe make a few tweaks to our format in our podcast.
Should we even rename it?
Ooh, maybe we'll rename the Wheel of Insanity. So yeah, give us your opinions. Email us, discerninggeeks@gmail.com. You can interact with us on our Facebook page, the Discerning Geeks Portal, and on Twitter, @discerninggeeks. We'd love to hear from you and love to have some input from you of what you want from the Discerning Geeks Portal, because for us, it's important that each of us explore whatever makes us a discerning geek. So thank you for listening and being a part of this journey as we continue on it. And thank you guys for being on here and discussing this movie. Sorry, Andrew, you didn't enjoy it as much as me. But they all can't be Godzilla. So, you know.
Inside jokes are back.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for this evening and for the podcast. And I will catch you on the flip side.
Thank you for listening.
Season 3 and the Wheel of What the Hell? Season 3 and Oh My Gosh, It's Those Homeless Guys Again. Season 3 and Oh My Gosh, Dave Is Drunk. Season 3 and the Cinematography. Season 3 and the May the Force Be With You.
Always
search for more money.
We haven't made any money off the podcast yet. That's the best part.
No.
Season 3 and the Time Waster.
You have to solve the clues to figure out.
Which will lead to another clue and another clue and mystery.
It should be. J. Michael Krasinski would want someone to be shot.
Krasinski.
That's what I said. Krasinski.
Or did you just not know any of them and want to live your life in ignorance?
First of all, ouch.
I'm just asking. You need to watch the second movie. It's just as good.
Almost. There's another one?
Yeah.